Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks so much for listening. I have another great program for you today. Today's show is all about dating burnout. Now, I know, listeners, you know that feeling. And I've heard it from my clients, from readers who respond to my dating blogs, and from friends who are dating. Yes, it's all about dating is discouraging. It's hard. It's not always fun. And it can be so exhausting. But the good news, listener, is that you're not alone in feeling discouraged. It's just part of the process of dating. And the next piece of good news is that I have a wonderful guest today who's going to help us understand dating burnout and share with us several ways to deal with it. My guest today is Duana Welch. She earned her PhD in developmental psychology from the University of Florida and is known for her using of social science to solve real-life relationship issues. She's contributed to NPR, PBS, Red Book, Time, Psychology Today, and many other media outlets. She coaches men and women who want more love in their lives globally via Skype and at her office in Eugene, Oregon. She also wrote a book called Love Factually. Now, I love talking to Dr. Duana Welch, and this is the second time she's been on my program. Last time, listeners, if you remember, we discussed when and how to break up with someone. That was a great discussion, and if you're interested in listening to that program again, you can find it as an archived The Love Doctor Is In podcast. Now, today's program, again, is dealing with dating burnout. Now, Duana and I have a lot in common. We both use and apply social science to solve real-life relationship issues. And listeners, you know I love, love, love that. So welcome to the program, Duana. It's so nice to have you again with us today.
Oh, Dr. Terry, it is a great pleasure. I just love spending time with other relationship scientists. And there aren't enough of us.
I know, and especially relationship expert scientists who use science research to give relationship advice. We need more of us, don't we?
We really do.
I know, because, you know, listeners and all of us want real good advice, whether it's about relationships or health, well-being, school, anything, family. We want real good advice. So tell us, Dr. Duana, what kinds of clients do you work with? Just in case listeners want to understand.
Sure. I really work with anyone who wants more love in their lives, whether they haven't yet found the right partner or they're trying to suss out a dynamic in their current relationship or they're trying to decide whether this is the right partner for them. Occasionally, I have married clients. My real focus tends to be people who are single and working on either finding their partner or committing to their partner.
I see. And you work via Skype all over the country as well as in Oregon, right?
That's correct. Although, you know, it's interesting. I have just shuttered my office in the small city where I live because my client base is global and national, but I don't have that many clients where I live. And I think that's really interesting, but I think my book has made a big splash globally and nationally, and I've only moved here kind of recently.
Right. And tell us briefly, what is Love Factually about?
Love Factually is the first book for men and women who want to find the right partner based on science rather than just opinion. It kind of reads like we're just having a conversation like you and I are, but all the advice in it is based on science instead of just opinion.
And I love that. Again, real good relationship advice. Now let's talk about dating burnout. How common do you think dating burnout is? And in your opinion, is it something new, or is this something that we've been experiencing or singles have been experiencing for decades?
It's really ironic. You'd expect that in the era of Tinder and online dating that people would be burning out less because there's so many more options. But what I find is that the opposite is true. I think dating burnout is worse now than it has been. There's the perception of endless choice, but at the same time, people feel pretty hopeless. I just consulted with someone yesterday who said, basically, I'm afraid love won't happen for me no matter what I do. And sure, I'd accept the right partner if they came along, but they have to find me. I'm done making an effort. And those two statements are big signs of dating burnout. They're big signs of, I'm just going to let life bring me the right partner. Folks, life is not likely to bring you the right partner if you're not in high school or college anymore. It's just not likely to happen.
So what you're saying then, Duenna, is that we have to make an effort. So single listeners out there, you can't just wait for somebody to come to you. You need to be proactive. You need to find a matchmaker, change something in your life, go online, but you need to do something is what you're saying.
Yes, actually, my book and my practice are all about being quite strategic about it. It's not just doing something. It's doing really specific things. And we know from science what these specific things tend to be. But one of the big things is to kind of use some mental flaws and update your thinking to understand that your friends who said, you're trying too hard, it'll happen if it's meant to, they're wrong. You need to be working at this. It's kind of, you wouldn't accept it if somebody said to you when you were looking for a job, you're trying too hard, the universe will just give you a job if it's meant to be. You would understand that that's ridiculous, but somehow we get a little more confused when it comes to dating. We don't understand that it's not just about romance. Romance at the front end takes effort.
And I think there is a common sense notion out there that it's just, if something is meant to be, it will happen. And so that's so true when we think about relationships in terms of our minds, but not true in reality. Now, you said something, though, Duenna, that I didn't understand. You said mental floss. What is that? I heard it and it just went, woo, I'm sure for listeners to help us understand how that's connected to what you just said and what that means.
Sure. Well, it's really tempting. So what happens to all of us all the time? All of us have an inner dialogue. I mean, you know that from your experience, but science also has found that we all have an inner dialogue where we're constantly having statements that we make to ourselves that tend to fly under the radar and thus are accepted somewhat unconditionally. And mental floss is my kind of catchphrase for catching yourself having these thoughts. Don't just let them fly under the radar and then challenge them. Because you've got to watch what you think. It directs your actions. So if you really think that it'll just happen when I least expect it, and if I look, I'm desperate, or if I look, I'm trying too hard, or if I look, it's actually hurting my odds. If I put effort into finding love, it's actually in some way ruining my chances, which a lot of people think.
Right.
Those thoughts have an implication for your actions. They direct your actions, and what they do is it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy where you stop looking, and the universe doesn't tend to hand someone to you. I've had so many people say to me, basically, that if it's right, it'll come. And I always follow that up with the question, how long has it been since you've had the right partner in your life? And they'll either say they've never had a good partner in their life, or it's been upwards of 10 years. I don't want that to happen to you. There's no reason for that to happen to you. Instead, treat it like a part-time job search. And when you have these thoughts, challenge them. The first step is catching yourself having these thoughts. And the second step is to challenge them with some more reality-based thoughts, such as, would I think this if I were looking for a job? No, of course not. I would understand that finding an appropriate job takes effort. Why would finding the most important relationship of my life be effortless?
Right. And when listeners, when you think about that, it's empowering. You have the control. So take it. As you said, Duenna, it's such an important decision. The love partner that I want to be with, such an important decision. So take the control, take the power. in your own hands. And as you said, be proactive. Now, going back though, what are some other signs that listeners might be burning out as well, Duana? Are there other signs?
Sure. A lot of it is the thoughts you catch yourself thinking. I've already said some of them, you know, if it's meant to be, it'll happen. I'd accept the right partner if they came along. The universe will provide. I'm afraid love will not happen for me no matter what I do. And another one is all the good ones are taken. Folks, yes. Oh, I remember this from my years of being single and from my years of single parenting. It seems like all the good ones are taken. But the truth, and you know, okay, I'm gonna have to acknowledge here, you're a right. little bit correct, but not all the way. It turns out that attachment style has, which is our habitual way of becoming involved with a romantic partner across time. Our attachment style does predict how often we're likely to be on the mating market. So secure partners who feel that love is a good thing and mutual interdependence is a good thing and who cherish the relatively few close relationships in their lives, they don't tend to wind up on the mating market over and over and over. About 2/3 of people have a secure style, but among the 1/3 of us, and I say us because I'm in that third, among the third of us who have one of the other non-secure attachment styles, we are more likely to wind up on the mating market repeatedly. And the most likely to wind up there over and over are avoidant people, which doesn't mean they avoid attachment or relationships. It means that they like to have relationships, but they like to have them at a safe distance. So a lot of other partners don't want that. They want somebody right there in their orbit, and they find the push-pull of involvement with someone who is avoidant to be very disconcerting and to make them really uncomfortable. What I see a lot is clients who are either secure or more often anxious. They want a relationship, but they're afraid it won't happen. I see these people saying, the good ones are all taken. I keep meeting people who seem right at the beginning, and then it turns out that suddenly, for no apparent reason, they pull up stakes and they don't leave me, but I feel like I've been left emotionally. That's a sign that you're with someone avoidant. It is true that avoidant partners are more likely to be out there in circulation for long periods of time. But, folks, you only need one. Yes, when I was dating, I met a lot of avoidant men. I have an anxious style, and for whatever reason, anxious people and avoidant people tend to date and break up really often. But you only need one.
And I mean, that's what I keep saying to yeah. people, Duana, that there are so many people out there and you only need one. You just have to continue to look and know what you want as well. And absolutely, you might come, you know, in contact with people who are avoidant or who are anxious and it doesn't match with you, but that doesn't mean that you can't find someone else. Absolutely, I agree. Now, As you're talking about different attachment styles, Duana, does self-confidence or self-esteem have anything to do with dating burnout?
Well, of course it does. You know, it's interesting. A lot of people will tell me my self-confidence or my self-esteem, they aren't where they need to be for me to date successfully. And you know, Dr. Terry, it's absolutely true that there's never been a perfume called desperation. There's a reason we say someone reeks of desperation rather than they smell pleasantly of desperation. So I get that. At the same time, while you're noticing self-defeating thoughts and redirecting those thoughts to align with reality, and that's very important to challenge your thinking. Another important thing is to realize that you can fake it till you make it. So if you
can fake it till you make it. What am I faking, by the way?
You're faking self-confidence. You're faking good self-esteem. Okay. You are acting as if. We know absolutely from social science, lots and lots of studies in psychology, that if you act as if, you will come closer to and reach the desires that you aspire to than if you engage in fatalistic thinking. This is how I feel, so it just can't work out. Act as if. act as if you are someone with high self-esteem. That's one of the things I work on with my clients. I'll show them, okay, here is how to act as if you value yourself early in the dating process. And if you act as if, the people who don't value you will quickly leave the scene, and you will be left only with this admittedly small number of partners who really, truly value you. But you only need one.
You only need one. And if you can fake it until you make it with self-confidence, you're going to appear more positive and optimistic. And we both know, Duana, how strong and powerful optimism and a positive approach to life is in the dating world. It is attractive. And if you are positive and optimistic, you will also attract others who are the same. So very good advice. Fake it until you make it. Keep, stay, show, express confidence. Now, let me ask you about something else, Duana. One of the other things that I have found that leads to dating burnout is unresolved issues from the past. So that people who are strongly connected to a past relationship or an ex-partner, and I mean strongly negatively connected or positively, have anger or they're still longing for a partner, it prevents them from being truly present and moving forward. And when that happens, I find that individuals can experience dating burnout. And they don't have closure in the past, so that's why they're still struggling with that burnout, with those comments or phrases, as you said, all the good partners are gone. I'm going to just let somebody find me. Now, what do you think of that?
Well, as you said that, I was just thinking about a wonderful social scientist named Mavis Hetherington, who did the Virginia Longitudinal Study. She did a study on men and women who had gotten divorced. And what's really fascinating about her study is she studied these men and women for the ensuing 20 years. It was a really detailed, involved study. She studied both the former husband and the former wife. Yes, and anybody who got into their lives. So she studied people that they had a casual relationship with, or they had an in-depth relationship with, or if they got remarried. And it wasn't like she just gave them a quick questionnaire once a year for 20 years. She really, really got involved with learning lots and lots about their life every year for 20 years. And, you know, it's really interesting. People will say, I have to feel better before I can find the right partner. But Dr. Hetherington found that it's actually the reverse. You will feel better after you've got the right partner. The right partnership is the single most healing thing you can do for yourself. In fact, Dr. Hetherington pulled none of the punches. She said, I am going to tell it to you straight. If you want to recover from your past failed relationship, get into a new healthy relationship, it is the only thing that works. I'm paraphrasing.
And you know what I found, Duana, by the way, is similar but different. So that I've been studying these couples and divorced individuals for 30 years and found that, yes, it doesn't mean that you can't date if you just experienced a relationship breakup or a divorce. But those people who said, I don't feel much of anything for my ex or my last marriage, right, we're significantly more likely to find a healthy relationship. So that, yes, we may date. Yes, we may have relationships and you don't have to wait. But if you want it to be a happy, healthy one, you need to let go of those emotional baggage or emotions that are strongly connected to the past. So it's very similar to Hetherington. But yet, we need to let go of that emotional baggage, that if we're still longing for someone, if we're still very angry with a previous partner, that may prevent us from being fully present and may lead to dating burnout. So we may differ
really
a little bit.
I agree with that. I agree with that both personally and professionally. I remember sitting across the table from a man who was from the same religious background I am. Now, only 1% of Americans are Unitarian. So when I, you know, happened to encounter this guy, I was pretty excited. And we met online. He wanted to meet for a coffee. So I met him. And the whole date was about how the anger just radiated off him. He insulted his ex-wife. He What I mostly remember is not what he said, but how he said it. I wanted to lean away from him at the table because I could feel
you wanted to flee, right? Listeners, hear the story that Dr. Duane is telling us, right? I mean, all of that anger, you don't want to be a part of it. You want to flee.
Maybe the right relationship would have been really healing for him. But he couldn't get anyone to stick around long enough to find out because his anger was driving away prospective partners. And I have had clients where very much the situation was one where they didn't just need concrete strategies for moving forward. They needed therapy. They really needed therapy to, and specifically cognitive behavioral therapy, to help them to process what had happened and how to constructively deal with it. And mostly that involved noticing and redirecting. Noticing and redirecting is such a powerful and scientifically proven strategy for enhancing lots of areas of life. But what this would have looked like for him, and I went through a hard divorce. What it looked like for me was noticing when I was having an angry or self-defeating thought and replacing it with something realistic. For example, with him, had he been my client and not the guy I never saw again, I would have said, you know, right now it seems like you're feeling really angry. Can you think of either a way that that is not serving you or something that your ex-wife did that actually was positive?
Same situation. Absolutely. And that's a powerful strategy to take a negative thought and switch it to a positive one. Now, Duane, we only have a few minutes left. Are there other strategies that you can give quickly to listeners if they're experiencing dating burnout?
The biggest strategy I can give you comes straight from Nike. You know, Nike was founded in Oregon, where I live. In fact, the very town I live in. Mm-hmm. And here's the strategy. Just do it. Huh. We know from a lot of science that not only do your thoughts direct your actions, but, and this is such a powerful and empowering positive thing, your actions direct your thinking. If you get out there and act as if you are positive and self-confident, and that good things are going to come to you, that is very attractive to prospective partners. The chip on your shoulder isn't, but if you can act as if, just take a night off from that chip. Just take one night off and meet someone and act as if your life has gone well. Let people see the best of who you can be, and you will start to, in their reflected admiration, you'll start to think about yourself differently. You'll have a different and better life. So just do it.
I love that, Duane. So those are all good strategies, listeners. First, Dr. Duane said, notice your thoughts and redirect them. Next, fake it until you make it, which I love that strategy. Exude self-confidence and self-esteem. And then just do it, because our actions can influence our thoughts. Excellent. Any last 1 minute comment before we leave, Duane, that you'd like to leave listeners with?
Sure. We are entering the holiday season in earnest now. And I want you to nurture your faith during this holiday season, that if you take regular action towards this goal of finding the right partner, that it will happen. Because if you do, it really will.
Thank you so much. That is wonderful and very encouraging and supportive. Thank you for joining us, Duane. I love talking to you. And again, if you want more information for Dr. Duane Welch and her book, Love Factually, please visit her website at lovesciencemedia.com, or you can follow her on Twitter at Duane Welch, DuaneWelch. As always, thank you for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here always to help your relationships be the best they can be. My website, my personal website, is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based advice that's easy to understand. I also have a new video online course that's called How to Find Love in 7 Days. So if you're interested in finding the right person for you, check it out on my website under courses. So until next time, listeners, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.